I know it's been way too long since I've done one of these simple podcast interviews, well, not interviews, monologues. It appears that I have people that actually take the time to enjoy listening to what I have to say. So, I think I have quite a bit to cover, so let me get started. This forthcoming weekend, you're going to see on WrestleView.com/rewind the file, the downloadable file of the stream of my interview with Andy Knowles on ESPN Radio for my third appearance on the Pro Wrestling Rewind radio show. During that interview, we discussed a tremendous amount about the live TNA Impact broadcast from Las Vegas. Now, I didn't see the broadcast when it was first put on the air on Spike TV due to my schedule. Well, I caught the replay from bell to bell earlier today. I have a few things I needed to say about it. One of the things that Andy had mentioned to me, which I have to mention right off the bat, is TNA Wrestling should be ashamed of themselves, and Samoa Joe should be ashamed of himself. I'm not sure who to blame, if it's the TNA production truck, if it's the TNA camera crew, or if it's Joe himself, but the blatant, and there's no other way to put it, blatant, obvious blading that Samoa Joe performed during the end of the main event match between Joe, AJ Styles against Nash and Sting. It was blatant, it was obvious, and it was simple to detect. Even a basic observer would notice Joe's head being perfectly fine following the belt shot, and then Joe reaching for something around his wrist, and then the next thing you know, he has this small little gash on the side of his forehead. Now, I am the last person in the world that is going to say word one about the intricacies of what goes on in a professional wrestling ring, because I guarantee you I wouldn't know A from B or C from D, period. However, this probably was the most blatant, obvious blatant incident that I've ever seen. And I've watched wrestling now pretty straightforward for the better part of 4 to 5 years. Okay? I've seen some really stupid stuff, and I've seen stuff that has made me jump up and down and laugh and applaud like crazy. This was abhorrent. I'm sorry, but you can't put anything else by it. I wish that the opportunity would present itself to witness this for yourself again, to see what I'm speaking of, both in the interview with Andy Knowles and what I'm speaking about now. I don't think you're ever going to get the chance, and if you weren't looking for it, you might not have caught it. I was. Excuse me. I was looking for something at the end of that match, and I couldn't believe what I had found. I mean, it really was an embarrassment. It was an embarrassing attempt at a blade job during the contest that was very well put together, I thought. Very intense, very emotional, and should have ended simply with Joe being knocked out. Belt shot or not, it should have ended with Joe being knocked out. The other aspect of the show, from a negative perspective, that I need to address is the Mick Foley announcement. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a Mick Foley fan. 100% I'm a Mick Foley fan. And Mick Foley, in a matchmaking role, which this announcement technically was, is going to be nothing but pure gold to TNA. I said it during the interview with Andy. I'll say it now. It is the right move. When Angle headbutted Mick, and Mick started laughing, saying how it was funny that Angle just headbutted his new boss, that should have been it. As I discussed on the interview with Andy, I'll say it in very simple terms. Angle headbutts Mick. Mick starts laughing and says, "Kurt, you just headbutted your new boss." The music starts, and Tenay and West start hyping the fact that Angle just got himself in real deep trouble with the hierarchy of TNA management led by part owner Mick Foley. End of story. You've got your cliffhanger of all cliffhangers. The only attempt that TNA did by going forward with with the babble and drivel that it took a lot of effort to even keep myself attentive to that drivel was try to embarrass Vince McMahon with the "We're free" comment that Foley used to Angle when he basically tried to say, "Look, either be a part of the company or take a walk." Now, you and I all know that Kurt Angle's not taking a walk. Kurt Angle has risked his health. He's risked his career. He's risked his marriage. Well, his marriage is gone from what I've been told on this company. So you know Kurt Angle's not going anywhere. But the bottom line is a program, a two-hour program on television for Total Nonstop Action Wrestling that for the first time in months I was dying to see. Absolutely dying to see. It really ended pretty poorly. I mean, the basics of the beginning of the show were incredible. Samoa Joe and AJ Styles promo, even Morgan and Abyss's promo. And forgive me for saying so, Abyss being dressed up like some renegade from a mental health facility is stupid. It's just plain stupid. Put Abyss back in his original costume. Let him talk, let him not talk, whatever the case may be. This attempt to portray Abyss as someone who's trying to reform himself it's not his character. Abyss is a monster. Abyss is a monster who endures pain like no other. Let Abyss do what Abyss does and see where we stand from that. Another comment I want to make is about the X Division and specifically the champion, Sheik Abdul-Bashir. I'm not a fan in any way, shape, or form of anybody who's going to come out on there and talk politics during wrestling, because wrestling is not supposed to be anything more than a fantasy. Let's call it as we see it. It's a fantasy. It's an attempt for an hour or 2 hours to sit back, relax, and forget the world, and just sit there and go and watch these talents compete inside the ring. Bringing politics, bringing families, bringing anything from a personal vantage point. Yeah, it'll get the storylines more emotional and more intense, but you know what? You can do it just as easily with a smack in the face or a punt or a headbutt to the side of the temple a la Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe back when Angle first came into TNA. One other thing I want to comment about Sheik Abdul-Bashir is it me or did this guy bulk up real fast? When he left WWE, he was not in as good a shape as he looked when I saw him today during the replay when he defended the X Division title against Black Machismo. I would be concerned if I was TNA as to the condition of Sheik Abdul-Bashir based upon where he was to where he is now. I'm not making any accusations by any stretch of the imagination because I have no proof, and I'm not going to say I do. Well, what I am going to say is the difference between where Sheik Abdul-Bashir is now compared to where Khosrow Shaun Daivari was when he left WWE is stark. It's drastic, and it's dangerously different because it was not a tremendous amount of time between when Daivari was released and then signed with TNA. And to look as built and as ripped as he did today, it screams about a possibility of something going on behind the scenes that is inherently dangerous to Bashir's health. Again, I'm not accusing, I'm not saying anybody did anything wrong, I'm simply saying that it bears looking into. I want to see somebody from the Fashion Police come into TNA Wrestling and arrest Kip James. Kip James prancing around in a spandex set of tights where you can see just a little bit too damn much, and prancing around in a cut-off t-shirt tied up like he was a woman. It is... it's insulting. Badass Billy Gunn back in the day was one tough son of a bitch. Let's just call it as we see it. And Kip James teaming with BG James as the Voodoo Kid Mafia or the James Gang or the New Age Outlaws or however the hell you want to call them. BG James and Kip James were one of the toughest and best tag teams in pro wrestling. You want to put Kip James in an association with the Beautiful People? Fine. Leave Kip James' fashion alone. Don't make him turn around and try and look like Talia Velvet Sky Madison or like Angelina Angel Williams Love. Because frankly, it is disgusting to view. Point blank. Kudos to Christy Hemme for the clean win on the first live Impact broadcast in high definition television. Hemme is not by any stretch where she should be from a skill set standpoint in regards to wrestling, but perhaps with that clean win over one half of the Beautiful People, she may start to get a shot towards a possible Knockouts championship match. However, with the Knockouts title being where it is now, I would fear for Christy Hemme's well-being if she was put in a one-on-one match with Awesome Kong. Which brings me to the Knockouts championship match between Awesome Kong and Chantel Taylor Wilde. I feel bad for Taylor Wilde because while I didn't get a chance to view her matches while being Knockouts champion, I felt she gave it as best of her effort as she possibly could against Awesome Kong, and I would have liked to have seen Awesome Kong win the match cleanly and not have to rely on a trip by Raisha Melissa Anderson Saeed, forcing Wilde to lose her balance and then fall victim to the Awesome Bomb and the eventual three count. If you've noticed, I'm doing a lot of dropping of names here. And quite frankly, I don't like some of the names of the characters that TNA is using, i.e. Raisha Saeed, i.e. Velvet Sky. I just think, excuse me, I don't mean to yawn, but I don't mean to yawn, I apologize for that. I just would like to see the names that TNA, the names that these talents have used when they've made their reputations outside of TNA, be used inside of TNA. Yes, I know there's trademark issues, I know there's business issues, copyrights, whatever the case may be, but you know what? That's business. That's not my forte by any stretch of the imagination, and I would like to see them figure out a way to allow these talents to come in under the identities, under the label that they are familiar, that the fans are familiar with, and let them follow their favorites inside TNA as the character that they're used to, i.e. Senshi / Loki, i.e. Velvet Sky as Talia Madison, i.e. Well, you can go on and on. I mean, the obvious ones are Senshi. That would be the most obvious. Wish I wasn't yawning so much. Speaking about TNA and discussing the hardcore TNA text off gauntlet between LAX, Beer Money, Team 3D, and Abyss and Matt Morgan. You know, this is the type of match that Kurt Angle was talking about during those comments in the UK Sun that provided so much controversy. This is the type of match that he's talking about that needs to be eliminated. You know, you did this match specifically to try and counteract the clusterfuck that is WWE Cyber Sunday, and believe me, that pay-per-view is a cluster bomb. You cannot tell me any other way that it's not. I've got people emailing me saying, I'm going off on a tangent here, I know. I've got people emailing me saying that the voting's not rigged, that it's against the law to have the voting rigged. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I don't give a damn what you say, that it's against the law or anything like that. The voting's rigged, okay? I got no proof, but I believe it in my heart. Until somebody shows me that the voting isn't rigged, I'm going to believe the voting's rigged. Because if it's not rigged, then put Shelton Benjamin in a match against Festus. All right? A match that nobody expects, a match that would be funny as hell to see, and a match that, quite frankly, Shelton should lose. Have Festus Dalton come out of Cyber Sunday as the United States champion. Okay? Have Kane Rey Mysterio beat 2 out of 3 falls. All right? Have Layla and William Regal face Mickie James and Jamie Noble at the pay-per-view, which would be an absolute miscarriage of justice. Have those things happen, and then maybe we'll talk about the fact that the voting is legit. But right now, the voting's rigged. And that brings me back to the TNA Hardcore Text-Off Battle Royal, where the tag teams competed in a gauntlet match, and then it was, when the last two teams was left, it was turned into a tag team match where the fans chose what weapon is legal. Well, how obvious could it possibly be when they determined that 3D was going to be left as the last team? How freaking obvious was it going to be that a table was going to be legal? I mean, come on. If you're going to make it unpredictable, if you're going to make it the fans' choice, you know, and you're gonna put 3D in the match, then put him with a chair. You can't put him with a ladder. They've done that too. Let him use a chair. Let Bubba try and concerto somebody onto a 3D or whatever the case may be. Do something different, for the love of Christ. Because I'm telling you, whether they want to believe that the fans are, that it's interactive or not, you cannot tell me that there's not an influence from the suits. because there is in every way, shape, and form. Let's move on. I hope that Samoa Joe retains this out-of-control monster image, monster characteristic, and just continues to plow through this group, the main event mafia group. And I hope that we'll end up seeing Joe and Sting compete in repeated matches to fight for the World Heavyweight Championship. It's a joke that Sting was the World Heavyweight Champion again. It's a joke that Nash cost Joe the World Heavyweight Championship, basically based on statements said almost 7 to 9 months ago. I mean, that's a joke. It's a joke. And now the TNA creative team has decided to assemble a group that looks awfully similar to the Four Horsemen. They call it the Main Event Mafia. It has the possibilities of being very good, and it has the possibilities of being very bad. Because if they try and follow the Four Horsemen storyline, which is the way it looks by the way they're dressed and the way they seem to conduct themselves, you know what? There's only one set that can be called limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling dealing sons of guns that went out there every day and beat the crap out of each other. And you know what? Kevin Nash, Sting, Booker T, and Kurt Angle are not Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, and Ole Anderson. And to think that they could even possibly emulate the best faction ever in professional wrestling is an absolute mistake. Again, like I said, I haven't seen Impact in some time, and I haven't had a chance to really see the product for myself. I've been following it on the website. But what in the Sam frickin' hell is up with Booker T's accent? Is he trying to still act like King Booker? Even when he's back to being called Booker T? It's laughable, the accent. Laughable. Booker T is a fighter. Trying to portray him as some sort of high class, stiff upper lip, hang your nose up in the air, rich boy, it doesn't work. It didn't work when Booker won King of the Ring and portrayed himself as King Booker. It sure as hell isn't going to work now. Walking around yelling, respect, respect, respect. It had my 9-year, it had my 10-year-old laughing his ass off. My 10-year-old sat and watched the whole Impact show with me. He's freaking laughing every time Booker's yelling, respect, respect, respect. How are you going to get the crowd reaction you want when they're laughing at you? Sting is trying to portray a heel, and he's getting cheered out of the damn building. Maybe the ideas have merit, ladies and gentlemen, but quite frankly, I don't really see that much positive aspects to build on off of this Impact broadcast. I read the reveal. It made me very anxious to see this show. I saw the show. I still have a very, very limited opinion on the status of TNA wrestling as a whole. I don't see them making the turn into something big. I don't see them jumping, crossing the line, and challenging the Mammoth Monopoly in Stamford, Connecticut for viewership. They could turn around and promote every gimmick match they can or, or that they've tried, and they're still light years behind any potential threat to World Wrestling Entertainment. Heck, I've been talking for 25 minutes, and I'm not done. Okay. I said this in my column last week. I want to say it here. I cannot believe the absolute idiocy of TNA Home Video and Navari Distribution. Okay? I have been searching for this TNA Ultimate Matches DVD now for 4 days. I can't find it. Been to 2 different Best Buy locations. I'm probably going to go search another ones later today. And I can't find it. How the hell is Total Nonstop Action Wrestling going to be able to properly distribute their product to their fans if they don't give copies to the stores? Won't even discuss some of the response of these jokers in these retail stores when you go in there asking for professional wrestling DVDs. They look at you like you're a social leper. But that's another story for another day. Personally, I could give two shits if they think I'm a social leper. Heck, I'm 6'4 and I'm over 3 bills. They think I'm a social leper, chances are they'll get out of the way and they'll leave me alone. And that's just perfectly fine by me, thank you very much. Total Nonstop Action Wrestling needs to distribute their product to its fan base, to the fans that do not have the economical capability to order their pay-per-views or to attend their live events and to be able to properly follow the product when they are unable to see the show live every week on Spike TV. And I don't give a damn what anybody says. 3 copies to 1 retail store in a suburb of New York City does not get the job done. Hey Jeff Jarrett, you gotta spend money to make money. Instead of spending on that gray-haired albatross that's still out there wrestling, who calls himself Big Sexy, who says with gray hair comes wisdom. You know what? If with gray hair comes wisdom, Kevin, do yourself a favor. Get the hell out of the six-sided ring because you can't freaking move. But like I said, Jeff, you gotta spend money to make money. There are fans out here. There are fans right here in front of you who want your product in their hands so they can watch it. But how in the blue hell am I going to be able to watch it when I can't find it? You answer me that, because frankly, I don't know. Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to this. I'll try and come back soon with something on other topics outside of wrestling. I felt this was necessary because of my interview that's forthcoming on the web on wrestleview.com/rewind. I thought this was a necessary follow-up. And till next time, take care, everybody. My website is mikesiciliano.wordpress.com. I am trying to get a new blog set up on wordpress.com. com. I like the technology over there, although there are aspects of it that I'm getting annoyed with. I'm going to continue to try and get that blog up and running to my liking. It's not there yet. I'm still working on it. My email is clack1102@aol.com or palace@wrestleview.com. I'm on Facebook, and I'm all over the net. I'm not a hard man to find, ladies and gentlemen. You got a beef? Bring it. You got a question? Bring it. You got a topic you want me to talk about? Bring it. The floor is yours. The ball is in your court for the first time in a long time. I'm waiting to hear what you have to say. Take care, and Godspeed.